What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either.
Really.
Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happy Monday.
Happy New Year's Eve for everyone out there.
This is my favorite holiday of the year.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you'd use the favorite superlative.
Besides my birthday.
When did it start being your favorite?
I've always loved New Year's Eve. Always.
You did?
Yeah. Sometimes. Okay, maybe this happened twice in my whole childhood. We did not have a TV growing up, but a couple times for some reason we were in a hotel. And so when we were in hotels, sometimes we could turn on the TV, depending on like where my dad's religious hierarchy was that day. And we watched the ball drop a couple times, which was like such a big deal. Anytime I was able to participate in something that was like a larger cultural phenomenon outside of the bubble, felt very exciting. So I have like really fond memories of that. And then it was always just like no pressure. Like we would have friends over. My mom would let us have slumber parties. We're always like drinking tea and journaling. So much of my like self-reflection, I think, comes from my mom because she was always like journaling and writing.
Really? I didn't know that about your mom either.
You know, I don't think that I've really thought about it.
Yeah. Has she shared any of that writing with you in adulthood? Like, have you read the things she's written?
No, we shared. I got her this, one of those 52 lists books by Maria. I gave it to her for Christmas like 3 or 4 years ago, and she gave it back to me a couple years ago, filled in, which was really sweet. But she talks about Jesus a lot in it. And I kind of wonder what her real answers are because they all just feel like a script from church. My mom's like making lists and noting stuff. But yeah, no, I have never read her writing besides that book. But yeah, it's always, so as a kid, it was just like fun. It's not a religious holiday. There wasn't any weight around it. Sometimes we would get like sparkling grape juice. I don't know. It just felt really, really magic. I have like no negative association to it.
Wow.
Yeah. What about you? What's your childhood experience with it?
I would say zero magic and wonder. At best, it was just like, another day has passed. And at worst, I think, like, I remember maybe like later elementary school into middle school, it being like people being like, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? And it's like hanging out with my parents. And I don't know, I just like felt embarrassed. We didn't do anything special for it. And then as I got older, I even think that I might have some like 13-year-old diaries where I made like New Year's resolutions, but they were always just like, I'm going to drink 8 glasses of water a day. And, you know, just like, what? Why? And kid, you're 13. I don't know. Can't you come up with something more interesting? It was already at that age for me. I was just sort of like, I need to be better. And this is my chance to be better and to work a little harder and to focus more. And I don't have any twinkle lights association with it. And I do have just a little undercurrent of a little bit of shame, I think, running under there. So it's your favorite holiday. It continues to be so. I want to hear more about, like, I know that you lean in hard. You have lots of rituals because you host Zoom calls for people and you like guide us through these practices. So what are they? What do you do?
Well, it starts with my birthday, my second favorite holiday, which is in November. So basically, from November until the end of December, I'm just deeply in reflection time. So something that I spend a lot of time doing is looking backward. I think that a lot of people at their New Year's Eve is like, I'm going to change and it will be better and this is the year. And I don't know, I think maybe I've had like moments of that, but I have never subscribed to the like New Year's resolution, we're doing all these things, because I just know that I'm a sloth. And so I'm not setting myself up for failure.
No, nobody is. That's the thing about the New Year's resolutions that we all know.
That does not work for me. So I spend all of my time looking backwards, reflecting. I look through my sketchbooks. I look back through social media. I look through my camera roll, through my Google Calendar. I made a monthly reflection guide that this year I did not keep up with at all. But for the past like 3 or 4 years, every month I fill in a reflection. So reading back through that filled out is so cool. And I look for patterns or just things that I'm seeing. I really want to be an archivist of my life. And the older I get, the more important it feels to me to like celebrate, pay attention, to like notice what's happening as it's happening.
When you're in that reflective mode, do you find yourself surprised very often by what comes up or what you notice?
I'm surprised at how it's the same shit year after year, continually. I'm in a season of being like, I'm fed up with my shit. Maybe enough to like start making some changes. I've been talking to my therapist about this, where I'm just like, I'm tired of writing about the same thing over and over again. Like, what's going to shift?
I have my own version of that. It's less intentional. We'll talk about it a little bit. But what are the things that come up year after year after year? Are there like top three, like if you feel comfortable sharing them?
Feeling stupid, which we've established, like having ideas, but then not following through, unless that I just don't follow through, but that I forget or I lose excitement in it, but it like literally falls out of my brain. I'm tired of going back and looking at me writing about the same things that I'm going to do, but then never doing them.
But it still feels, it's like still a practice that feels meaningful to you. It's not like you do this and you see the patterns and you're like, oh, I don't want to look at this shit anymore. There's something that pulls you back to doing that mining. And
oh yeah, it's bittersweet. It's kind of emo. I just love it.
Am I right in like the part of the things that you like, you make lists of the year, like these are all the juicy podcasts I listened to, these were all the books I read, these were like, you list sort of like some of those concrete things that accumulated over the year?
Yeah, especially if I kept up with my monthly reflection guide.
So you can do it every month, and then at the end of the year, you have this like whole hearty list.
Yeah, so every month I have like notable media consumed, accomplishments, things I've been processing, just like writing down what I'm overarching, like thinking about, and then stuff that happened, which is just like good, bad, ugly. And then I have some other like reflection pieces. Last year, I created a visual review where I like wrote a letter to the past year. And then I did a portrait of myself. And then I have this, what I think is pretty amazing, little like system of graphs that are blank that you can fill in however you want. So I make kind of a timeline of the year so I can see it. I also have been realizing lately, I just have a really bad memory. My memory is not good. I feel chaotic a lot. And so some of this, I think it's me like trying to mark where I am in space.
You're tracking a path. You're looking at the arcs. You're seeing you're looking back over the tread marks.
Yeah. And then the only thing that I do forward thinking is that I choose a word. So this one I'm holding, it's 2021. My word was full. Illuminated and the fullness of myself visible in all that I am. This is the year I came out as non-binary too, which is interesting.
I was going to ask you what that, okay.
I make a mind map of the word.
At the beginning of the year, like this isn't as you go. Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess I do set some intentions. So I have my self-keeping, which is the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social. Mm-hmm. And then I write some things down that I want to do. But I like, I barely look back at it, and I don't set myself up for failure. It is not something that I stress over.
Okay, so when you pick a word for the year, and that's a word you pick looking forward for the next year, do you hold on to that word somehow or come back to it? Or is it just like it's there at the beginning and then you can reflect back at the end of the year and be like, oh, how did that show up? Or how do you hold that word over the course of a year or not hold it?
I think it shifts year to year. There was one year where my word was something about being rooted. That wasn't the word, but something about that. But then I started drawing all of these like concentric circles together where it was like I was like emanating from one space. And that for like months, I just filled sketchbooks with these like circular motifs. I often will like hang it up in my studio somewhere, but it's something I hold lightly. Like some years I like really carry that word with me, and other times it's just like, this is the direction I want to orient myself. Less like a concrete goal and just like, this is like the landmark that when a choice comes up, I'm going to try and go toward in this direction.
It sounds like a lot of openness. Like it doesn't have to follow any specific set of steps or, I mean, it sounds like kind of a no shame zone, just exploratory.
Yeah. And there's so many areas of my life where I clutch at things and I have shame, but this is just not one of them. And I really want to like share. It's about the practice and the process of doing it versus the outcome. And I hold it really lightly. I don't know why I have been.
You don't need to know why. Live it up.
It just is. Yeah. It's a gift. It's
the values cards are a part of it too, right?
Oh my God. Let's talk about values deck. Okay. So actually in our notes for this, I broke down practices from daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal, and then yearly. So we've talked about what I do at the end of the year. Something that I started a few years ago when Lisa Congdon came out with her values deck, which is, God, buy it right now. It's so good. Is that every season I sit down with that deck and I pull the cards that are the values I'm wanting to hold onto in that season. It's like kind of a mix between an aspirational goal and like something that is like really a value there. So I'm like, those, I feel like they're really in tandem. And then I write those down on the back of my monthly reflection guide each season. And at the end of the year, I can see, and then I like underline which ones were the same. Those I start to understand as my core values.
Do the values that you pick each season tend to change? Do a lot of them change a lot from season to season?
I have 2022. Do we read you each season's values?
And you pick like 10 a season? Is that what you do, or three? Or
I mean, you can do whatever you want. In the deck, she suggests 10, pulling 10. I like have made up my all so many of my own rituals with this deck that are separate from what they put on there. But okay, so I chose 5 each season. So in January 2022, my values were solitude, nonconformity, beauty, integrity, mindfulness, parenting, vulnerability, contribution, education, and intuition.
Wow. There's like a ton of values in the deck.
Yeah, there's like 78.
So you really are like honing and pinpointing exactly what those values are. And it's interesting to me because I think of us as having a lot of the same values, but I don't know that very many of those were on my list in 20. I did this in 2023 and 2024, I think. And I don't think any of those were on my list. So I'm sure some of them were. But
so I take the whole deck. First, I start with 2 piles, which is like, doesn't matter, matters. And then my matters to me list is really big because it's like, none of the values are not things that would, you know? And so then I go through that pile a second time and I start pulling out ones that I'm like, no, not actually. Then I go through a third time and I start putting them into categories, grouping them.
Because a lot of them have overlaps or similarities. Yeah.
So for me, like simplicity, order, beauty, often I like have in my, yes, it's important to me, but those feel like very similar to me. Career, ambition, like some of those feel really similar. And then I narrow it in. So I put them in categories and then I look at them all again and I identify what is strongest or what really sums up.
Yeah. Okay, but then you did that in January. So then did that list change very much into the spring season?
It did. So in April, my values were purpose, self-respect, risk-taking, beauty, order, thrift, social connection, solitude, parenting, and nonconformity.
So some of those nonconformity, parenting.
Parenting and solitude. Every single quarter, I did solitude and parenting were in each one. And then nonconformity, thrift, gratitude, integrity were ones that repeated, not each time, but they repeated. Like in July, I added adventure and leadership and optimism, which isn't in any of the other ones. September had career and health, which aren't in any of the other.
Don't you also use those cards for like your family's values of like what we're orienting ourselves towards as a family? Does Andrew do them ever?
When I ask him really nicely. A couple years ago, we did it together at New Year's. And that was really special. Like we pulled them for our family.
Wait, did Andrew make his own list and you made your own list?
No, we did it collectively. Like we chose them together.
Mike and I have both done ours separately and then compared them. And it was really interesting just as a couple to reflect on like how most of them were not the same. Some of them were opposites or felt like opposites, but the ones that always show up in our family over and over and over again are curiosity, creativity, and intuition. I think curiosity and creativity are the most consistent. And then some of the second runners up would be intuition and passion show up for us as a family again and again.
Creativity and curiosity feel so evident in your home.
Oh, thank you. That makes me pleased. It's interesting to me to see your values shift and fluctuate from season to season because I feel like, and I don't know if it's the way that I'm thinking about them, but I find that mine are mostly consistent. And I don't know if it's that I'm like naming what is consistently true or if it would be shifting it towards what I would like to practice and if that would change anything. I don't know. But it's either way, I guess the bottom line is it's a really interesting tool, both for reflection and sort of learning about other people and having a different way of processing what we mean to each other or how we interact with each other. I remember I even brought the deck on like a really big family, like Taussig family gathering. And like all my sisters and in-laws and some of my nieces, my parents did it. Like it was really interesting to process together. But that's like an anchor in your practice. Okay, what were the other things you had on the daily, monthly?
Well, yeah, that's the seasonal is pulling those. And recently I've been really trying with varying success to identify what I am not prioritizing. Like, what am I deprioritizing so that I just immediately, like, what are my no's?
I love that. What are you not prioritizing?
Well, right now I'm stretching myself really thin and not, there's not a lot I've deprioritized right now.
I love that as a practice though, because it's like, I would like to do all of these things, you know, like I want to do all of it well, and that's impossible. So what am I cutting out? What am I going to
let fly? Think looking at it seasonally is really helpful for me because I think the way that I approach these cards is like, what is my attention on right now? It like shifts by like projects I'm working on or things that I'm like trying to achieve or just like, what is the state of my home? Like what is the current conditions and what's being asked of me in that season shifts how my values are. And I think I use the word values and this card deck pretty loosely, but for me, it's kind of like, where am I putting my attention? What matters to me right now? And there's in the past in my life, like social justice, like community engagement were like top of my priority list. And that is not where I am right now. I am like, how do I care for these people who are like right in my tiny orbit? And I'm not doing much public facing work. It's not that like social justice and community engagement doesn't matter to me anymore. It still does. But right now, like that, my like social community is very condensed.
What do we need to prioritize? Where are we conserving our energy? I am really liking this idea of, I think this year, I might go into 2025 like, what am I not giving energy to? What am I not prioritizing? What am I letting go? That actually sounds really...
Have you read 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals? Oh my God. Basically, if the book is in a sentence, it's like, what not to do? Like, what are we not doing? And not that there's like one thing. It's like, what are you not doing on purpose?
I want to be empowered with that. What am I not giving my energy to? What am I not going to prioritize? I like that a lot.
That's a seasonal. Then monthly. Okay. Something I'm starting, and I just made a little sheet for it that I'm going to drop on Patreon, is a monthly admin adulting day. I'm really having trouble. I'm really avoidant of things I don't want to do. And then suddenly like 5 months go by and I'm like, oh, I still didn't pay that bill. That was scary to me. And so I'm going to hang this on my wall. I write down all the things as they come to my mind that I don't want to do or I'm scared about. And then, so that feels important that I'm adding monthly. And then I also made a bucket list, a seasonal bucket list for myself. So these are new practices. We went through like the fall season and there were so many things I wanted to do, but they were like fun. And so they didn't feel important. And so I am making a fun list each season, memory making stuff that I want to do. And so I'm really excited to see how adding those.
I love a list where you can check something off. It's very gratifying. And then I love the idea of you taking all of the angsty energy that goes into that adulting list and punching it in the face one day a month. Even if it's not on the day that you put on the list, December 3rd, December 4th, whatever day it is, this is the day you're punching all the adult things in the face.
All of the stuff that you build up, like the energy required, just like do it all. And I'm hoping to like either do it with Andrew or like get a friend to like body double the hard stuff with me. Cause it's really just, if someone could sit next to me while I schedule doctor's appointments, it would make it, like the shit on this list is not actually that hard. Only one of these things on here is actually difficult.
But the thing is, normally it comes to your mind and your brain is like, you still haven't done this thing. You still haven't done this thing. But now you just put it on that list and know that you're going to put that energy into December 3rd.
If I don't have that constant anxiety about it, I'm not going to have built up like fear, as much fear around it. And so it'll just be like, oh, it's admin day. I'm doing this thing. So I'll let you all know how it goes. These templates are going to be, well, this is good. This is accountability. They'll be on my Patreon and I'll drop that on ours for Scratch That.
Okay, cool. Lucky us.
Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
Our goal for 2025 is to reach $900 on Patreon each month. This would cover our overhead so that we're not paying out of pocket each month to produce these episodes.
And just so you know where your money is going, the episodes are perfected by Amelia of Softer Sounds. She runs her studio with a rare humanity, and we feel so good partnering with her.
If you believe in these episodes, if you enjoy these conversations and want them to keep showing up in your feed, would you consider joining our Patreon?
You can join for $5 a month, which comes out to $1.25 per episode. Such a deal.
If you can't support financially, there are lots of ways that you can rally around this podcast, sharing a favorite episode with a friend or on social media, leaving a 5-star review. All of that really helps us keep this thing afloat.
Thanks. We love you so much. Back to the show. I want to hear about your daily practices because you have some really beautiful ones.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, we talked about my origin roots with this time of year, and I think my brain is just very quick to shame. So even like reflecting back, I think my brain is very quick to be like, why didn't you read more books? You know what I mean? Like, gosh, my brain is relentless in that way. So I have in the past, I have done like pick a word for the year. We've done the value cards. We've done things like without any consistency. But the thing that has been the most consistent over the longest period of time for me and that has grown over time is multiple modes of daily documentation. And a lot of this practice for me is born out of my brain's impulse to write a story over my life and to pull in memories that fit that story and then minimize or forget the moments that don't fit that story. And so it feels very important to me in a number of ways to be very present in my reality, which to me means present in my body, connected to my senses, what is happening here and now, and bearing witness to it in the moment, and then finding ways to document it, especially ways to document it that aren't pulling my phone out. I obviously still do that all the time, and I have 10,000 pictures on my phone minimum. I want to be present for the memory in a different sort of way, where I am like capturing it in my brain with words. So we've talked a little bit about some of these things. I have your calendar. I've done this for the last 2 years. We're getting ready for the third year of writing an embodied memory at the end of every night on this giant calendar. So we have, right now, what do we have? Like almost 700 moments from the last few years, a very specific, like in the moment. This is when my heart was pounding, the fingers were flicking across the keys, whatever it is, right? Like these very tangible moments that we can look back on. And what I like specifically about the calendar is that there is not enough room for any narrative to creep in. It is literally just the image, the sounds, the feels, the taste. That's all it is. I also have these journals, and I'm not as consistent about this. This is the one I'm working through right now, but I have like a shelf of these, and these are just like little tiny notebooks. And what I try to do with irregular consistency is write 10 images in this book at the end of every day. And I try to do it rapid fire indiscriminately. I'm not trying to pick the best one or the biggest one or the one I think I should remember, but it's just like, what is your brain filing through? What I like about this one is that when I look back on it, a lot of times there are things that I don't actually remember anymore. Sometimes I can conjure them back and be like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten. But a lot of times I'm like, wow, I have no memory of that thing. I try to make it really objective. I'm just like glancing at it right now. I try to not let narrative creep into it. A lot of it is like little conversations that Otto and I have. Some of them are really short. When I picked up Otto today, he hugged me and hugged me again. He pushed my bangs up and put his hands on my face, still sticky from my morning facial. I opened my apartment love story essay, an essay I haven't touched in like a year. I read the first two paragraphs, cringe, then go to the kitchen to make scrambled eggs. Just like random. It's really random shit. I want to be able to look back and read my life in a way that feels like it has some amount of groundedness and isn't just like, wow, what tale was she spinning? Well, there's something that is to account. When I do reflect back on it, it is interesting to see what is there, what doesn't fit like the story I tell myself so often. I don't always do that. And I try to be really low shame about if I miss like a month or 3 months, and I just get back to it when I can. And then the other thing that I do every night, I started this, my sister bought me this one line a day book in 2011, I think. It's just enough room to write like 5 lines of text about the day. I did this from 2013 to 2016. Which means that it documents when I first like met Micah online, when I decided to switch graduate programs. It documents a lot of different years of therapy. So I filled that whole book up. And then after Otto was born, I think when Otto was like 6 months old, Micah and I started writing a new one together. So we're almost done with this 5-year journal. And so it just takes you through like the same day of the year, but every year. So you can see like today is, what is today? December 3rd. And December 3rd in 2013, my mentor in graduate school, Laura Moriarty, thinks I might be happier doing a creative PhD. She said that even in an exceptional class, I stand out. Should I switch? I feel like it seems obvious, but I'm scared, but I must. So I can see like the early seeds of like what became this really big shift in my life's journey, moving towards creativity instead of like this more academic literary route. In 2015, so like 2 years later on December 3rd, but almost 10 years ago from today, I read an essay at a local bookstore in Lawrence. My sister and Micah drove all the way to Lawrence, and Amanda made me a big margarita beforehand. Louise came up crying afterwards, and Amanda said, "You have beautiful." Amanda said, "You have a beautiful heart under those hot tits." Yeah. So similarly to you, I think you're more intentional about it in your reflective practice. But similarly to you, when I look back on, especially the five-year journals, when more of my like feelings about the thing come into it, it's not just like this objective sensory memory. Objective, I say that loosely. Everything is through a filter. But what I see is a lot of themes coming up over and over and over again as well, in a way that's like, good Lord, kid. Like, how have you not figured this shit out yet? Like, for me, it's a lot of devaluing of myself, thinking very little of myself and the things that I make, and feeling like, I don't think I'm good enough for this thing. These people don't think I'm good enough. I think what comes up for me, I hear you say like, I'm stupid is a phrase that comes up for a lot for you. For me, it's, I have nothing to offer. I don't have anything to contribute. That comes up for me a lot. And I do think, I don't know to what end exactly, but I do think there is something really useful in being able to open a book and see in my handwriting, I've been working on this, or I've been feeling this way for so long. And also, I think in hindsight, when I look at some of the things that I felt worried about or that I devalued in myself 12 years ago, and I can see kind of where that arc went or what value that ended up having in some sort of long haul picture way, I do think there is a little bit easier, whatever is coming up in the moment, to hold it a little bit more lightly or to have a little bit more confidence. Not always, but I don't know. I think there is something about that distance of the long arc that can be grounding for me. But I'm not very intentional about like gathering those reflections on any sort of consistent rhythm or on any particular day. But I think that the daily practice of it makes it possible to do that whenever.
Yeah, I think your daily practice is like one of the most robust I have seen. I was getting teary listening to you read some of those days, and then just the magnitude of those calendars filled in. Like, I still think about seeing those. I feel like you are documenting in terms of like on a daily way that you're really getting the like nitty gritty of it. I feel like you're light years beyond me. And it inspired my Advent calendar that I'm doing. I made a paper chain, and every night I take a piece that chain off, and then I write something that I noticed that day. And then I'm putting it in a little box.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's very cool. It's so funny to hear you say light years. To me, I feel like maybe the only way I'll do it is none of it is evaluative, or like if it's simply a bearing witness and I have no other expectation on it. And then I guess the long-term hope is that it does offer a certain amount of reflection for me, for Otto. But I love that as a like making that into like holiday practice.
I want to do this each year. I got this little DIY Advent thing at Michael's last year, where each one is a drawer, and we painted it, but then never did anything with it. So I'm putting each strip in the drawer for the corresponding day. And then my thought was like, I would get them and look at them all on Christmas, but then put them back in and next year do the same thing. So I'm almost creating like one of those 5-year, one line of thing. And I love the idea of it, like growing each season and just having a new way to be present during the holidays, because it's so easy for me to just completely dissociate for like the whole month of December.
Yeah, the practice of paying attention. It's just the practice of noticing.
And documenting it.
And knowing you're going to document it is part of it.
Well, you have to set the stage for it. It has to be accessible, it has to be doable, and it has to be like, the conditions have to be set. Like, your calendar is hung on the wall in your bedroom, and I'm guessing you have like a writing utensil really nearby. Like, the conditions are just so there, it's the easiest thing. You like would stumble over it to do it. And I think that's the only way that we do a daily practice is by making it that way. I just feel so emotional. Like I like started crying while you were talking, and it's like, I think the older I get, it's like a cliche, but like the faster life keeps going. And it just feels like it's just spinning past me. Like it's just falling through my fingertips. Like, especially since having Charlie, I so often will look at him and I just have such a visceral feeling of him being just born. And I'm like, where did those days go? Like, so I feel this like, not so much that I like want to go backwards or like hold on to a certain phase, but that I'm like, I'm not remembering it enough, or I'm not.
I don't want to miss it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to forget it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love reading a memoir, reading a person's story, like being able to tangibly almost like hold someone's life in your hands feels just so important to me. And I'm just imagining Otto like reading through these, and or your grandkids, or just you getting to look back and like physically hold in your hand your life.
Yeah, that feeling, I'm sure that having someone growing so fast before your eyes is part of it. I think also just getting older, I feel older, I feel the speed of time, and that feeling of like, the idea is this moment is your life. And I want to like that feeling that you had of it slipping through your fingers, I want to grab it and splash it on my face. Like, I want to be present for it. And so much of the time is like, sometimes when I'm in the backyard and I'm just like waiting until Micah gets home and waiting till dinner, and then I look around and I'm like, oh my God, like my backyard is beautiful. The sounds of these birds is, where am I? And the air feels beautiful on my cheeks. But I'm not always moving through the world with that kind of awareness of what's around me or what it feels like to be in any moment.
The like, where am I is what it is for me, because I move through the world often like not knowing where I am or where my body is, or I'm always like reaching towards like practices that will ground me or like give me some sense of presence, because so often I'm just floating above my body. And oh, wow. I didn't know I was going to get so emo.
It's the season, right? So I'm wondering what we're holding on to, especially as we think about people listening in and like starting this new year and all the different feelings and practices that people have around New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. What are you thinking about, or what are you holding? I wonder if it's going to be the same for us.
Like, what am I personally holding for the new year?
Or from this conversation?
This conversation is like, just document the shit out of your life. And then you can time travel. You can be with yourself back in moments. You can hold on to it. I feel like that's the way to hold on to it without grasping. I think there's an energy of like wanting to restrain or like stay somewhere, and one where it's just like being like witness. Like, what is it like to be a witness to your life, to memorialize your life while you're alive?
You know, sometimes with Otto, and I think that my brain does this because of all the documentations, but sometimes when I'm with him, and I think this started when he was maybe like a year old, my brain will start imagining that I am time traveling. And that I'm coming back to this moment. Like, really, Otto is 40 and I'm 80, but I'm actually visiting this moment through time. And I like look around and I'm like, oh, this is what his room looked like when he was 4. And this is what the shape of his cheeks and his nose looked like, and what his voice sounded like. And oh, I'm so lucky I get to like nuzzle my 4-year-old's cheek right now, because this is a time travel. This is a moment. There's something very sobering and awesome, as in like I'm full of awe to be here at all. Like, what are we doing here? This is so wild. And yes, I think similarly, thinking about just like, oh, so hungry and thirsty to not miss it, to be present for it, to soak it in as much as I can, lap it up, like a thirsty puppy in the lake or something.
Yeah, I was just thinking if we're offering up our listeners an invitation, my invitation for people would be to like just be witness to your life and look back and then just think of one landmark that you want to move towards. Like, I mean, if New Year's resolutions works for you, great. But like, that is not what I'm about or what I hope anyone takes away from this. It's just that like, be a witness, pay attention, and just document the shit out of your life.
And I think documentation can look like a lot of different things, as it does for you and me. I think about things like, I love the way that you take pictures of the sky. This is the sky. This is what the sky looked like the day that, whatever, right? Like, there can be really simple ways of documenting that. I'm sure for a lot of people, they hear about my calendar and my 5-year journal and they're like, hell no, like never, or there would be so much weight to that every day. But we can find different ways of just bearing witness to the life around us, being present for the moments that are moving back, like flying past us in whatever open-handed, easy, light way we can do that. I think it's a gift that gives us abundance.
Yeah, and the only way that it can be sustainable is if you just let go of shame or perfection.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like full stretches of whole months where I'm not writing in that 10 images. Yeah, that happens all the time. And I think you're the person who put the idea in my head that white space is part of the practice. Part of the story, part of the documentation is the blank space. So,
well, and I have been soaking shame as I'm like, don't have shame, because I didn't fill in my monthly reflection guide this year. And also this year has been like some really big stuff happened in January last year that I have, the repercussions of are still daily a part of my life. And we're walking through a lot of stuff. And I think the fact that I didn't fill in this year is information about that I was deprioritizing care of myself. So it's information for me there. And also it's just like, I did not have any capacity. It was just was like, I was in survival a lot of this year, and reflecting in a stupid journal felt so dumb. You know, as much as I'm like getting weepy and these practices are so important to me, also I plan on taking my 2024 and just kind of noting that I didn't fill it in, or even retroactively noting some stuff as I do my reflection, like retroactively filling it in. And I think that is part of the story. The story isn't not told because I didn't fill it in. That in itself is part of the story.
Well, I'm thinking about the people listening and where what the world looks like from their perch, what their year's been like. If there are any reflections of a tiny moment, a pattern from the year, I don't know what it would be, but a way of reflecting together on what just happened.
Can I offer up a prompt?
Do it. Do it.
We just recorded a letter, the letter that you heard last week. At the end of that, we were talking about how much we loved the way that that felt. Could we each write a letter either to 2024 or to 2025?
Oh, yeah.
Or both, and then read those next week.
Yeah, let's do that.
And this is an invitation for everyone else to write those too. And maybe we can share excerpts or pieces of people's on Patreon if anybody wants to share.
I love that idea. Let's do it. So a letter either to 2024 or to 2025. Let's do it.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Happy New Year.
Bye. This podcast is edited and perfected by Amelia of Softer Sounds.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.